As I thought about our passages that we read this morning, and specifically the passage around Stephen, I was reminded of a passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 33. In that chapter, Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai, goes to the mountaintop. He climbs up there, in my opinion, to get away from the people. And to spend some time with God. And there Moses and God visit for a little bit. And Moses, speaking of his congregation, claims that the people that God has chosen are a stiff-necked people. Now, surely he meant the positive kind of stiff-neckedness. That sense of a healthy sense of distinction, a positive self-understanding, a strong sense of will, a pioneering, indomitable spirit. That's what we hope he meant, but I doubt it. I think that he meant that God has a tendency to choose people with that inability to look this way or that, to get a wider view, that tendency to not listen to other people or take into consideration other people's opinions. Moses probably meant that God has a tendency to hang out with people who can be a bit argumentative, obstinate, opinionated, divisive, and stubborn. The amazing thing, though, is that in the same breath that Moses says, these chosen people I have to deal with are stiff-necked, Moses also says, God, forgive them. If they are this way, if this is their nature, please forgive them. Now, in our passage, which we read from Stephen today, we didn't give you quite the whole story, but I promise you, in just a few verses, right before the lesson today, he has actually turned to the people who are now on top of him and about to kill him and called them a stiff-necked people. That's part of what's gotten him into trouble. And then Stephen does the same thing that Moses does. After uttering those words, Stephen says, even as they are about to take his life, God, forgive them. Of course, what we see is that the living word prefigures in Moses' own words the words of Jesus upon his cross as he looks out as his tormentors and says, Father, forgive. And the living word unleashed from Easter speaks a word through Stephen, Father, forgive. God in Christ Jesus upon his cross emanates forgiveness to all people. And it is a forgiveness born upon a cross such that it has the power to forgive even stiff-necked people. You see, God, the God that we believe in, has a fondness for the sin-sick soul, for the leastness and lostness, even if we don't know that it's inside of us. God sees us as we are. God sees us and is fond of us, even though we are stiff-necked people. I think sometimes we are stiff-necked because our heart has not truly been given to God, or it is given to God only when convenient. Our ears do not hear his beckoning unless it suits us. We oppose God's Holy Spirit because of the fear and anxiety that is in us and a concern for our own safety. And so we persecute those who try to invite us to do otherwise. We shun them. We in the end settle for a domesticated God, one of our own making and of of our own values. This is, in fact, the speech that Stephen gives, but it might as well be a postmodern translation for those of us who are stuck. But God forgives. And God even forgives the church in its stiff-necked nature and stubbornness. As a motley crew of friends of Jesus, you see, we are the inheritors of Stephen's work. Even though we in many ways have chosen to read this passage as if we have no part of it, as if we stand outside of it, as if this is some religious thing that happened a long time ago. But the scripture beckons us, speaks to us, invites us to consider who we are. And when we do this, when we distance ourselves from the story, we deny the very core of the first Easter's community's understanding of the events in Jerusalem and Galilee and the call that those made on the community to be a different kind of community. When we remove ourselves from that tradition, then we miss the fact that those who followed Jesus, who sought to see the resurrected Lord, who wished to meet Jesus in their lives, understood after the resurrection that they had to be in relationship with all kinds of people, especially the kinds of people that Jesus loved. The poor, the heathens, the sinful societies, lepers, the dead, the dying, the prisoners, and the suffering. You see, those are not the stiff-necked people of God. Those are the people that God keeps inviting the stubborn to minister to. So it is then that any system of religion who chooses to serve God in Christ Jesus is meant to serve the poor and the weak and the voiceless. We are to become a community beyond family and clan, religious belief, and we are constantly to be including those outside of our faith circles. But we are to be, we will be, if we are faithful to the work, I promise you, discomforted and troubled, discombobulated and distressed, and we will be inconvenienced by God's chosen lost friends and the breaking in of the kingdom of God that we are invited to participate in. You see, Stephen is not doing some special work caring for widows and orphans or sharing with the poor, the lost, and the least. Stephen is actually doing the ministry that Jesus did. So just as Jesus did those things, so too Stephen does those things. So too the Easter church and those first disciples did those things, standing with, befriending the lost and the least. But when we do that, just as Stephen, what tends to happen is that we ruffle the feathers of the religious and politically powerful. And just as death came for Jesus and death comes for Stephen, death comes in every age for the institutional church and its people as it wrestles with the invitation and call of Jesus, as it struggles to reorient itself away from institution building and into the actual hands-on work of Jesus. To grab a hold of the idea that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is not some mere statement of faith. It is very much to move the stiff neck of the church who at its worst wishes only self-preservation. It is in the end to be the hands and feet of the Lord whose gospel pulls at us, tugs at us, reminds us, even cajoles us, but will not let us go. You see, Jesus loves his church and continuously invites it to get uncomfortable and to be comforted with the disquieting work that he has in store for us. We are, you and I promise you, a stiff-necked people. Our hearts are not given to God as they truly are not given to the poor. We oppose God's Spirit as we reject the invitation of relationship with those unlike ourselves. And in fact, we will call them enemies in order to avoid the reality of the broken relationship that God invites us to heal. We continue to live in our segregated economic ghettos, and we settle for a domesticated God who likes Sunday attendance and good pledging and asks little else from us. A God by the way of our own making who shares our economic, political, and social values and gives us permission to ignore and not to befriend those who are different from ourselves. That's the truth. And I think we know it. But here's the good news. God knows it, and God forgives us even still. God's mercy is big enough to forgive us all of our failings in His name. God forgives us all these things. But it is in our forgiveness that we can discover our chosenness. And in our forgiveness that we may see that we are invited to return again, constantly invited to return again to the work of Stephen and the work of Jesus. You see, I am and we are the stiff-necked people of God, but we are also the forgiven and chosen people of God. And we are invited to serve the world in His name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.